This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we plow along in Proverbs 3 and 4, covering trust in the Lord. Do not despise discipline. The Lord is your confidence. Do not plan evil against your neighbor. And a father's instruction. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org. or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. And for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, keep your church in your perpetual mercy, and because without you we cannot but fall, preserve us from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is for the prophet Amos, chapter 8. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell again, and the Sabbath that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses." So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil." He said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat." He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. He said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. An overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. Stewards of God, you know where that will place you in the parable. As a called and ordained servant of God, and by his authority, you will be the representative of God, so that the people receive absolution from you as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it their sins are forgiven. The people of God will hear you, and they will trust that the word you speak is the very word of God. Even the littlest of Christ's lambs understand this, and they will gift you with crayon-drawn pictures of Jesus, pictures that will bear a remarkably close resemblance to you in your alb and your stole. And that reality frightens the great accuser, and he will bring forth complaints and temptations so that by any means possible he might bring an end to your stewardship, so that he may destroy the faith of those under your care and sully the glory and honor of God. Some of those accusations brought forth against you will be flat out lies, even as the Pharisees once deceitfully accused Jesus. After all, no servant is above his master. Yet the most painful accusations of your stewardship will bear an element of truth, even as the accusation against Joshua the high priest was true. Yes, your sermon could have been much better. No, you didn't get that visitation in with your member before they died. You could have done more. You could have taught more, been more patient, been more understanding, more merciful. You should have kept a better rein on your tongue rather than let your stinging and sinful words strike the shepherd's flock. You did have too much pride, too much sloth, too much gluttony. And so that he may further accuse you, he places temptation after temptation before you to be an unrighteous steward. Opportunities that your old Adam falls into all too easily. After all, you want to be liked. You want to be free from anxiety about whether the message you speak upsets the biggest giver of the congregation and causes him to leave. You don't want to anger your head elder by barring his children from the altar because they no longer walk together with us. So, maybe it is enough to guard the rail by just enumerating the basic tenets of the Christian faith in the bulletin, allowing anyone who agrees with those to commune. Maybe it's enough that you speak a general, blunted word of the law without getting into the terrifyingly specific condemnations from the Lord that apply to your congregation. Maybe it's enough that your member is engaged to be married and committed to his or her fiance, so you can just refrain from that awkward conversation about the sixth commandment. Summoning his master's debtors one by one, the unrighteous steward said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, "Take your bill, sit down, write 50. Then to another he said, "How much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. Yes, in many and various ways, the sinful weakness of your Adamic flesh will lead you into temptation, the temptation of being an unrighteous steward. Unfaithful in little, unrighteous in the things of God. It's all rather depressing. Your sin is proof enough that you have erected idols in your heart, yet no servant can serve two masters. It leads us to conclude what unfit people we truly are. How can we even consider serving the Lord as his stewards? But our Lord God fills his high office in an odd manner. He entrusts it to preachers, poor sinners, who tell and teach the message and yet live according to it only in weakness. Thus God's power always goes forward amidst extreme weakness. Were our Lord a Donatist, that is, binding his mercy to the righteousness of his servant, then there would be no stewards to proclaim the grace of God to the world. Even you would still be lost in the blindness of unbelief. Our Lord is too merciful to allow the death of Christ to be in vain. Therefore, our Heavenly Father calls unrighteous stewards, first to proclaim the loving kindness of Jesus to sinners just like you and I, but more than that, he calls unrighteous yet forgiven stewards to act on his behalf, bringing mercy to each generation and to all nations. The Lord God calls sinners who have experienced his uncompromising mercy to be his stewards. After all, who better to proclaim the Lord's mercy than those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Each and every man who has served as a steward of the mysteries has done so not because of his own righteousness, but because he has benefited from the faithful obedience of the steward Christ Jesus, benefited from the redemption that comes by means of cross and tomb. Each one of you, God willing, who will serve as a steward of the mysteries, will do so because you have been fully clothed in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, covered by his faithfulness, and are commended as one who is pleasing to God. What grace this is, that the Lord should include unrighteous stewards such as you or I in the work of his kingdom. But do not allow his mercy to justify your continued faithlessness. He will not allow this to happen. You have been cleansed. You have been redeemed in the blood of Christ Jesus. Live in your sinful unrighteousness no longer. When you are led into the temptation of requiring less than the Lord has spoken, then repent. And when you are led into the temptation of demanding more than what the Lord has required, repent. God is faithful and just and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Strive, therefore, to live in the righteousness of Christ and to be found faithful, knowing that even when you do fail, our Heavenly Father does not withdraw his steadfast love or mercy either from you or from his people. And with that in mind, we ought to reconsider the common title for this parable. Is this parable about the unrighteous steward? No more than this sermon is about you. Rather, both are about your Jesus for you. Both are about the Lord who shows mercy, even to the undeserving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Amen.
Calling how God has searched us out and rescued us in Jesus, let us pray for the whole Church of God and for all people according to their needs. Merciful Lord, hope of the wayward and the erring, return those who have strayed from your love and salvation, that they might rejoice in the freedom that you have given to them. Fill those who are crushed by the weight of their sin and despair with the knowledge that their deliverance is in Christ Jesus alone. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of power and might, continue to sustain the nations of the earth and lead them in the way of justice and truth. Sustain us in these turbulent times that we may be at peace and strive for the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, you know the needs of all. Look favorably on the sick and the infirm, and grant them patience during their time of trial. Bring hope and confidence in your promise of life to those who are dying, that they may firmly cling in faith to their Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, You welcome us to your banqueting table and invite us to feast on your Son for our salvation. Grant us repentant hearts, that filled with your Spirit, we may rejoice in the gift of your Son's body and blood, and receive it to your glory and for our good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we remember with joy those who have gone before us. Bless their memory among us, that inspired by their faithful example, we may always cling to Jesus and be blessed to join their eternal song in heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Have mercy on us.
Now may this eating and drinking of our Lord's very body and blood guard and keep you steadfast in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.